Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. We're going to continue to make our way through the Acts of the Apostles and kind of take the message of the preaching of Peter and the apostles and to unpack it and ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand the core of the message that the church exists to proclaim. The beginning of the week, I read from Luke chapter 24, that beautiful passage, Luke's account of the first resurrection appearance of Jesus to the apostles. And he said there that Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And that's been my prayer all week, that as we go through these texts and looking at the content of the proclamation of the apostles and the response of the people who hear it, that we can see that the Holy Spirit will help us see the central message of the gospel. Because it's, as Paul would say later, St. Paul would say later, that the cross of Jesus is the power of God for salvation. The gospel, the message that Peter's proclaiming here that we've been dissecting over the last few days, this is the power of God. There's power in God's word to change life, to transform lives. The church has been sent to preach the gospel, to live it and to preach it. Not just to live it, but preaching is of the utmost importance in the mission of the church. And it's wonderful to see, you know, one of the things that is talked about a lot today is about the importance of the great transcendentals of helping people understand truth, beauty, and goodness. In particular, people saying that many Catholics, and I think understood correctly, they're right, that beauty has a capacity to win people and to win people to the truth of the faith, like the beauty of the church's art, the glorious churches that have been built over the centuries that honor the Lord and express so much beauty and coherence and life. And of course, the saints themselves are so beautiful. And who's more beautiful than Mary, Our Lady, in her purity, in her holiness? It's just, she's beautiful, but there's nothing more beautiful than Jesus. Jesus is the most beautiful thing the world has ever seen. He is love incarnate. He's God's precious Son. And now, in his flesh, in human flesh, he's glorified. The divine nature has literally filled that flesh with glory. And he's the firstborn of a new creation. Something entirely new was founded in him. Something that is accessible to the human race only through him. He's the beginning of something. He's the elder brother in the family of God who has given us a share in the inheritance that he has acquired through his life, passion, death, and resurrection, and an ascension into glory. The Holy Spirit wants to help us see the beauty, the majesty, and the glory of Jesus. All of heaven stands in awe of Christ. He's the radiant light of heaven. The Father has allowed his light to shine through Jesus like no other. And Mary herself in her beauty is a mirror of that light, right? She's reflecting. It comes from Jesus. It originates in him. He's the source of eternal life. He's not just a reflection of that life. Mary is uniquely connected to that life, and Jesus honors her as his mother, and she's beautiful, really beautiful. And what's beautiful about her is her humility, her simplicity, her purity, her obedience, her courage, all of it, it's there. And that's what we see also reflected in the lives of the saints. They are what's most beautiful in the church. So as we think about bringing beauty to the world, let's remember the central, most beautiful thing we can give, the pearl of great price, the treasure hidden in the field, is a person. It's Jesus. And this is why the recent popes have exhorted us to speak his name. Pope John Paul II said, Church in America, you must learn again to speak the name of Jesus. And you notice this is what Peter's doing and these readings we've been looking at. If you haven't had a chance to follow this week, as I said, go to the website, and we've been taking apart these passages. Peter's not preaching the church here. He's not talking about the church. He's not drawing attention to himself. He is using this moment of the miracle, the healing of the lame man, to preach Christ, to tell the world, to tell these Jewish people something they actually don't want to hear, many of them, that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, that he's God's chosen servant, that he's the holy and righteous one, he's the author of life, and that he calls everyone to repent of their sin, including all the Jewish people. Every human being he's calling to repentance and offering the gift of eternal life. We ended with verse 16 in chapter 3 yesterday, and here's Peter continuing in the next verse. "And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance." Remember, he just told them. They're all excited, gathering around Peter because this man who was healed is clinging to Peter, and there's a great buzz that's happening, like, wow, no one has ever seen anything like this. And they want to know, who's Peter? Who's John? Who are these guys? And Peter said, "Don't look at me as if it happened because of my power or my piety. This happened because of Jesus, because of faith in Jesus." That's what he said. Believing in Jesus is what this man did, and he was healed. He believed that Jesus could heal him. He said, "And now, brethren, I know you acted in ignorance when you, that is, killed Christ." The Romans, the Jews, the human race killed Christ, you might say, right? It's sin in the human heart that put Jesus on that cross. "As did also your rulers," Peter said to them. Remember now, he's speaking to Jewish people here. Verse 18, "But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled." Okay? Peter's saying, all the promises of our prophets are fulfilled in Jesus. He was supposed to suffer, though many of us didn't think that was going to happen or that was supposed to happen. But indeed, if we look closely, it's exactly what the prophets told us. And he is the Christ, and he has suffered. He's the Messiah of God, and he has suffered. And now he's fulfilled Isaiah 53. He's fulfilled Psalm 22. He's fulfilled all those passages in the Old Testament. He's the one. Because Jesus is the one, and he's alive now, healing this sick man and offering salvation, the next line, Peter says, verse 19, he says, "Repent. Change your life. Turn from the direction you're moving in and turn toward Jesus and believe in him." Now that is an explosive message in that context. He's in the temple of the people of Israel. "Repent, therefore," he said, "and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out." There's the message. Again and again and again, the apostles preach this message. What is this Messiah's suffering and death all about? What's his rising from the dead all about? It's an opportunity for you to have your sins expiated, blotted out. Let Jesus take your sin, is what Peter's saying. If you don't, you will die in your sin. You will suffer God's condemnation on sin because sin reigns in you, because you walk in sin, because you're without forgiveness of sin. You will experience sin's destiny, which is condemnation. But now is the opportunity, he's saying. Jesus has come. He's blotted out your sin. If you're willing to give him your sin, he'll take it away forever. But that means you must turn to him. That's what repentance means. Turning away from the direction you're moving and turning wholeheartedly to Jesus. Peter said that your sins may be blotted out and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Right? Jesus wants to give you a share in what belongs to him. That time of refreshing is the refreshment the apostles experienced on the day of Pentecost when Jesus said, "I will send you the promise of my Father." Verse 20, he goes on and says, "And that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus." He'll send you the Christ. God the Father wants to give you a relationship with Jesus. and the Spirit of Jesus that raised him from the dead, he wants to give to you in baptism. He wants you to be in his family. He wants you to become a new creation. He wants you to experience what John the Apostle said so clearly. The eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. Eternal life has come to us. He says later in that letter in 1 John, he said, eternal life is in him. It's in Jesus. He who has Jesus has eternal life. This is what Peter's talking about here. And that he may send you the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for establishing all that God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. Jesus must reign. Where is he now? He's at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. All power and authority in heaven and on earth belong to Jesus. Friends, we've got to get that straight. The biggest thing going on in the world, the greatest power in the world, is not the United States of America. It's not our nuclear weapons. It's not Silicon Valley. It's not Hollywood. It's not Wall Street. It's not NATO. It's not Kim Jong-un. I think I have the right name for him. It's not China. Jesus Christ is the greatest power in the universe. And everything is subject to him. And every person and every nation that's raging against him is coming under judgment and is desperately in need of repentance, because he's coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. And every single person is going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, because he's come to bring the kingdom of his Father. He's come to make his enemies his friends and family members and bring them into relationship with his Father. But anybody who doesn't want to do that, anybody who insists in their own way, is an enemy of God, and they will be destroyed. They will be judged by the one to whom judgment has been given. That's Jesus. So this is the message that Peter's bringing. And he's talking about how the prophets spoke and anticipated all this, and the patriarchs anticipated this. But as he's preaching, beginning of chapter 4, it says this, and as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. They were annoyed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Okay, here's the problem. You see the conflict. Jesus is the stumbling block to Jews and to Gentiles. Jesus is claiming, and the apostles are claiming, he is the Messiah of Israel. He's God's only son. He's the only way for salvation to come to the human race, Peter will say later. And they are proclaiming it. And these guys are mad at them. They don't have any authority to proclaim this. Who are these people? The same blasphemers who were here, you know, weeks ago. And not only are they speaking in the name of Jesus, they're saying he's risen from the dead. And the religious leaders are angry. And the fight is now on. We'll take this up tomorrow. God bless you, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.